Zechariah 4. The antitypical symbols of the Second Temple, the type, were shown to Zechariah in vision, and recorded in the fourth chapter of his prophecy, as follows. And the angel that talked with me came again, and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold a candlestick all of gold, with a bull upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered, and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered, and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah 4:1-6, 12-14. Thus the word of God is represented by these symbols. Therefore, the interpretation of them is to reveal the manner of communicating the word of God to Zerubbabel. Not to the Zerubbabel that was engaged in building the typical temple, for he was orally instructed by the prophets Zechariah and Haggai. Therefore, as the significance of these prophetic symbols were not understood by them, they must be applicable to those who are to be engaged in building the antitypical, or spiritual temple church, as it was previously explained. Each one of these symbols must be separately deciphered by uncontradictory evidence, and their significance must constitute the method by which God is to communicate His word to His servants. It has been previously stated that all the books of the Bible meet and end in the book of Revelation. Therefore, the revelation of Zechariah's prophecy must be found there also. We quote, The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation 1:20. It will be noticed that the messages to the seven churches are not addressed to the candlesticks, the church, as a body, but to the angels, saying, And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Revelation 3:14. This angel is not a heavenly angel, for he is at fault under condemnation, and about to be spewed out, except he repent. It is this angel who has charge of the candlestick church. Therefore, the seven angels denote the leadership of the seven churches, and the candlesticks are the symbols of the seven churches. Thus, the churches in this instance are symbolized by candlesticks. Therefore, the candlestick in Zechariah's vision denotes the church, as a body. The revelation of the olive trees is found in the 11th chapter, and the 4th verse, These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. The olive trees and the two candlesticks are the two witnesses. See Revelation 11:3. Zechariah also states that these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah 4:14. Therefore, these two olive trees and two candlesticks are inseparable, for they both stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The two candlesticks in this instance represent God's church in two sections, and each one has an olive tree. The angel interpreted them to Zechariah as the word of God to Zerubbabel. Therefore, the two candlesticks represent the Old and New Testament churches, Jewish and Christian. And the two olive trees are symbols of the Old and New Testament Bible, the word of God to Zerubbabel. These two witnesses shall prophesy 1,260 days from 538 AD to 1798 AD, clothed in sackcloth. Revelation 11:3. The two witnesses represent the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. The Great Controversy, page 267. Thus we have a candlestick for each of the two sections of God's church while the scriptures were being written. One candlestick and one olive tree to the Jewish, and one candlestick and one olive tree for the apostles, and seven for the remaining history of the church to the time of the separation of the tares from the wheat, or to the commencement of the harvest. Thus the candlestick church in Zechariah's vision is the tenth, denoting a universal church, depicting the living church, that shall unite with all the saints since the world began, which will join with the church of the entire universe of God. This candlestick in Zechariah's vision is a glorious one, which in comparison, all others stand as nothing in perfect harmony with the second temple, which in comparison the first stood as nothing. The two golden pipes. True then, the candlestick represents the church, and the two olive trees the Old and New Testament scriptures. Now, what be these two golden pipes, which empty the golden oil out of themselves? We quote from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, page 249, the inner lamp must be supplied with the oil that flows from the messengers of heaven through the golden tubes into the golden bowl. The Lord's communication never comes to man in vain. Therefore, the two golden pipes that empty the golden oil into the golden bowl are God's messengers of inspiration through whom present truth is revealed, and the only true interpreters of the scriptures. The oil represents the revealed word of God, from the Bible, as it is explained through His appointed servants, and the bowl describes the publications into which these revelations are compiled. This is the testimony of Jesus, the Spirit of prophecy. Revelation 12:17, 19:10. The revelation which John received is called the testimony of Jesus. See Revelation 1:9. Therefore, the testimony of Jesus is also the Spirit of prophecy, because His testimony is revealed only by the Holy Spirit through a human channel. Thus the scripture interpreted by inspiration is the only testimony that can be the testimony of Jesus' truth without error. The seven lamps. If a candlestick represents the church as a body, then the seven lamps thereon must denote the sisterhood of churches scattered throughout the denomination. The biblical number of completeness stakes in the entire movement as a whole. This fact is also proven by the following quotation: when the anointed ones empty themselves through the golden pipes, the oil flows out of themselves into the golden bowl, to flow into the lamps, the churches. Testimonies to Ministers, page 337. The seven golden tubes. If a golden bowl is that which contains the inspired interpretation of the scriptures, or the writings of the Spirit of prophecy, and the lamps or churches are supplied with oil from the bowl through the seven golden tubes, then the ministry is represented by the tubes, whose duty is to feed the entire church with the inspired word of God only. This fact also is proven by the Spirit of prophecy. As we read, the golden oil represents the Holy Spirit. With this oil God's ministers are to be constantly supplied, that they, in turn, may impart it to the church. It, page 188. Note, the seven tubes ministry draw the oil from the golden bowl, not direct from the olive tree's scriptures. This divinely illustrated lesson is too plain to be misunderstood, or its meaning misconstrued. The only safe way by which God's servants and His church can be free from error, full of faith without guile in their mouth all speak the same thing, is the never-erring guide the Spirit of prophecy. The acceptance of so-called truth without inspiration is the devil's trap of deception, and they who advocate such fallacious teachings are the hardest and most impossible ones to rescue from Satan's bottomless pit, for he makes them believe that confession of their errors would disqualify them for teachers and dishonor their high standing. He who denies inspired interpretation of the scriptures is denying the office of the Holy Spirit, and is sinning against Him, committing the unpardonable sin. This golden candlestick is the most remarkable symbol in the Bible pertaining to the Church of God. Its arrangement with complete number of lamps, bowl, tubes, and pipes, all of gold, with its two olive trees emptying themselves of the golden oil in the golden bowl, reveals that the last section of God's church is to be the most glorious church in all ages. This continued communication by the Holy Spirit to the church, represented by the olive branches emptying the golden oil out of themselves into one golden bowl, and its complete set of supply tubes, from the bowl to all its lamps, is to bring every part of the entire body in perfect harmony, a church without guile. This prophetic symbol unmistakably points forward to a heavenly agency absorbing human weakness and imperfection into everlasting glory. A glorious church, not having spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy, and without blemish. Ephesians 5:27. A church that keeps the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Clad in the armor of Christ's righteousness, the church is to enter upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners, she is to go forth into all the world, conquering, and to conquer. Prophets and Kings, page 725. Song of Saul, 6:10. To the candlestick is the promise, Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Isaiah 41:15. The one stone the church shall have complete vision of heavenly glory, for behold the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor, under the vine, and under the fig tree. Zechariah 3:9-10. To the servants of God the church is granted to possess the earth and restore the land to the saints to whom it originally belonged. Thus they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Micah 4:4. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Zechariah 10:5. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord, before them. Zechariah 12:3-8. And it shall come to pass, that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part, through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Zechariah 13:8-9. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Psalms 87:3. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel, in the midst of thee. Isaiah 12:6. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for, lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Zechariah 2:10. What is inspired and what is not? Cunning men under the power of the great deceiver, with good words and fair speeches have sought to overthrow the faith of the saints in the word of God, by almost innumerable interpretations of the scriptures, and multiplicity of sects, making it nearly impossible for one to find his way out through the confusion, and thus keeping him in ignorance of the truth. God, knowing beforehand of these cunning devices, has prophetically illustrated the truth by this candlestick in its assemblage of parts, symbolically showing that the truth of the Bible is revealed by inspiration only. Written words can be misconstrued, but symbols cannot. thus making it possible for both learned and unlearned to immediately distinguish the difference between truth and error. The question may arise with some, how can I determine what is inspired and what is not? The prophetic word of God is capable of answering the question and clearing the confusion, dividing the one from the other as wheat is separated from the chaff. First, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them uninspired. Isaiah 8:20. Second, the churches who were in existence prior to 1844 fell with the proclamation of the second angel's message, Revelation 14:8, showing that God would no longer reveal himself through that channel. Therefore, every theory and offshoot or sect that has sprung from the denominations in existence at that time is false with no light in them. This is also proven by the fact that nearly all the authors or founders of these theories and movements make no claim of inspiration. The prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 4, explained in the Shepherd's Rod, Vol. 1, pages 115-133, proves that Luther, Knox, Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and E.G. White were divinely called. It is also proven by the parable of Matthew 20 that Luther, Knox, Wesley, and Campbell were not given light on prophetic truth but were inspired to call for reformation on certain truths which were revealed before their time and had been trodden underfoot. It is further proven by the same parable that through Miller and White, prophetic truths were revealed which had never before been taught. See the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2. 227-228. It is also shown by Ezekiel's prophecy that light and truth on the scriptures would continue for 390 years, that is, from 1580 to a late 1980, and then it was to cease for 40 years. See the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, pages 114-133. Thus, while the 1844 movement proclaimed that light had ceased to be revealed through all other sects, it is shown by Ezekiel's prophecy that light was to continue with the latter, up to the year 1890. This fact also is self-evident, for the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has had no additional light on the scriptures in the stated 40 years. Therefore, any theory or so-called truth that might have been advanced by some within this SDA denomination that had not been revealed prior to 1890 is also false. Though some things were written in the spirit of prophecy, they were not to be understood until 1929. The truths revealed prior to 1844 and up to 1929 are found in the writings of the spirit of prophecy, and that which is not written there is of no value. Not until our minds have been cleared from all these false theories can we comprehend the truth. In other words, the Laodiceans must confess that the charge against them is true, wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, and by acceptance of the truth they would anoint their eyes with thyself, for it is the true witness speaking, and his word must be correct. Find your explanations in the bowl, and you will have no trouble in knowing the truth or of avoiding the ever-ready trap of deception. Thus the difficulty in knowing the difference between truth and error is eliminated.